Did you know your actual age might not be the same as your biological age? That's right. It's not just about your birth date. Your body could be older or younger than you think. That's where True Diagnostics comes in with their True Age Test. You can discover your true biological age, plus get insights into things like your risk of heart disease, Alzheimer's, and even early mortality. And the best part? It's all done from the comfort of your own home. No prescriptions, lab visits, just a simple test sent right to your door. I just ordered my True Age Test, and I'm super excited to see what it reveals about my health. For me, it's all about what we can do to start reverse aging, for my health, for my well-being, and this is my starting point. The test is like a health roadmap that shows exactly where your body stands and what you can do to improve. That's what this test gives you. And one of the other cool things is True Diagnostic is part of the Rejuvenation Olympics, where people compete to lower their biological age. Ready to find out your biological age? Right now, our listeners can get 20% off their entire order at truediagnostic.com by using code CLINK at checkout. That's True Diagnostic. TRUDIAGNOSTIC.com at checkout. Just use the code CLINK and save 20%. Plus, if you subscribe, you'll get an additional 20% off the 20% discount. Discover your true age today. Lady listeners, could your daily routine be full of hormone disruptors? It sure can. You know, there are more than 1,000 hormone disruptors living rent-free in our environment right now, in our food, our water, the air we breathe, the clothes we wear, and they all mess with our hormones. Then there's the natural hormonal changes our bodies go through. Perimenopause, menopause, and while it's a natural process, it doesn't mean we have to suffer through it. The good news is that we don't have to suffer through it anymore, because now we have Hormone Harmony, a formula made with herbal ingredients that are shown to reduce hormonal symptoms in women of all ages. Happy Mammoth, the company that created Hormone Harmony, is dedicated to making women's lives easier, and that means using only science-backed ingredients that have been proven to work for women. They make no compromise when it comes to quality, and it shows. Hormone Harmony is a phenomenon. Women can't stop talking about it on social media. A bottle of Hormone Harmony is sold every 24 seconds, y'all. Hormone Harmony has been part of my routine in 2024 and will continue to be in 2025 because, simply put, it makes me feel better. For a limited time, you can get 15% off your entire first order at happymammoth.com. Just use code CLINK at checkout. That's happymammoth.com and use code CLINK for 15% off today.
Hi, and welcome to Housewives of True Crime.
Welcome.
Welcome.
I am Tabitha. Give me Dateline, white wine, and I'll pick up your kids in the carpool line.
The next day, right?
Yeah, the next day.
Okay. And I am Gretchen. I like white wine, true crime, and in bed by 9 because I have a lot of stuff to do in the morning.
We are Housewives of True Crime.
Yes, we are.
Yes, we are.
Welcome.
Welcome.
Housewives of True Crime.
Housewives of the True Crime. How are you? Sweater weather. You're rocking sweater weather.
Oh, it's
so cute if you could see us.
Yes. I should take a picture. I don't usually wear bright colors. Today, I'm wearing a bright pink turtleneck. And
yeah, because it's frozen in Texas.
Oh, well, so it's so crazy, you guys. So it is Saturday afternoon right now when we're recording. And 2 days ago, we had a snowstorm, and now there is barely any snow on the ground, like trickles. Sunny,
yeah.
Warm. Well, not really warm. It's still freezing, but it feels way warmer than the, you know, 18 degrees it was.
Yeah. Tab's a big baby about the cold.
Well, listen, you can't. It's like, it's actually like being in lockdown again because you can't leave your house and nothing is open. I'm telling you, nothing. Not one restaurant, pizza delivery, anything you get in a normal snow town, you drive around, you still do your stuff, does not happen. Mm-hmm. It's like you're going to be locked in your house forever. The grocery stores are empty before the snowstorm. People are standing in line. The gas stations are crazy. They think the world is ending.
Okay. So Texas takes it a little next level, but y'all had a hell of a freeze last year, so I kind of don't blame people.
Yes, they definitely have PTSD, for sure.
For sure.
I was like, oh, it's not going to happen again. They told me it only happens like once every 100 years.
Yeah. Well, I am rocking the same sweatshirt. Of course, it's our Wine, True Crime, and Bed by Nine hoodie for the last 2 days because I am super fried because my child broke his arm. He didn't just break it, though. I know kids like break their arms every day. You know, it happens. Like, he broke the shit out of his arm. He jumped from a pull-up bar and landed on his elbow and separated it completely and had to have surgery and pins in it to put it back together.
Yeah. Like, he actually broke his arm off almost.
He broke the shit out of his arm.
The pictures are bananas. When you see the pins going through his little arm.
Oh, my God. So it's been just kind of like a whirlwind and trying to like get caught up on life while dealing with the child that can't sleep through the night because he's so uncomfortable. It's awful.
It will get better, I promise you. It takes a little adjusting. And when he gets his cast on, he's still in a splint right now. But when he gets his cast on, it will get better. I mean, it's kind of crazy. You and I have kids in casts the same time.
I know. At least I have some advice too, because you're such a professional cast wearer over there. You guys like to get broken.
Once a year, almost.
Well, he is getting a lot of attention for it on the upside. And so he enjoys that. His whole class made cards for him.
Oh.
And it's kind of funny because my Ruby child she has a thing against this girl in Wyatt's class that we see periodically around town. And I'm always like, what gives? It turns out this little girl is quite the fan of Wyatt's.
Oh.
Her card was covered in hearts.
Oh.
She wants him to have an extra special Valentine's Day. She loves him a lot.
Ruby is, and so I just jealous. She's
yes. Like, I'm like, you're nuts. I was like, Ruby, do you not like this little girl because she likes Wyatt? And she was like, yeah, 100%. Stay away from my brother.
Oh, no.
I was like, oh, it's not supposed to work like that. It's supposed to be the big brother chasing away the boys, right? Not the sister. You got to be cool.
Right. Yeah, you kind of do have to be cool. You'll teach her. It'll be fine.
It'll be fine.
Hey, you know what I thought of real quick, talking about Texas and snow, but now I'm thinking about Texas and driving. I figured out the Texas drivers are crazy in snow. They don't actually do it ever. But in general, I've told you many times that Texas drivers are crazy, right?
Yeah.
They like flip you off, run you off the road, drive 80 miles an hour in the slow lane. It's kind of bananas. I figured out this is why. Because they're so nice around, like out in the open, that once they get in their car, they let it all out.
They take it out. Mm-hmm. Everyone has something pent up a brewing underneath.
Yes.
Yeah, that kind of makes sense.
By themselves. They can release the energy without anybody really knowing. They're behind a piece of metal.
Okay. I get that. Oh, I have one other little thing I wanted to mention.
Yeah.
Okay, so do you notice that I have new nails and I don't have the dip flu?
Yes. Well, okay. I'm glad you have no dip flu.
I did not get the dip flu, which is like a side effect of doing nails.
Dip nails.
With a lot of products. Dip nails, yes. But a listener recommended. Turns out we have a lot of listeners that also dip their nails. And a listener recommended this brand called Polished D. Polished D Glam.
Okay.
And so I bought their liquids and I did not get the dip flu. And so I'm very excited and I needed to share.
Oh, well, good. Congratulations.
There you go.
All right. Let's get to our case today.
Let's do it.
It's all you, girlfriend.
Today's case is a listener suggestion from Stacy Reed.
Stacy.
Thanks for the suggestion and also for having a name that I can't possibly F up.
It could
really
be Stassi.
Oh my gosh, I die. Okay. Okay. Well, today's case is that of Bill Erpenbeck. Bill was one of five children that grew up in Northern Kentucky. Bill's grandfather was in the home building business, and so was his father, and so was Bill. But Bill took home building to the next level. He built hundreds of homes in housing developments for people. In 2002, he was making a living that afforded him quite the lifestyle. He lived in a home that could have been featured like on an episode of Cribs if he had been a rock star. He had an amazeballs pool with a cave, a movie theater, you know, all those extravagances like that you can imagine. Mm-hmm. Bill was the father of three children, and tragically, their mother died when they were very young. The mom was only 30.
Wow, that is so sad.
It is really sad. But he remarried a woman named Marcia who was raising his children with him now. And she was enjoying the lifestyle she was now accustomed to, courtesy of Bill's lucrative home building business. When Bill wasn't working, he was a popular guy, had lots of buddies. Bill loved golf and the country club life. He was kind of like the cool kid in that scene. So you can picture it, Bill and his other rich buddies, you know, spending their days, living the dream, hitting golf balls, bragging about their fancy cars, talking stocks, probably drinking too much and bitching about their wives.
I think that's like what my husband
aspires
yes,
to.
Yes. He's like, one day I'm going to play golf.
I know. Works too much. Yeah. Well, a couple of Bill's buddies worked for a bank, as in being president and vice president of the People's Bank. And being in the home building business, that involves a lot of construction loans and mortgages. And so naturally, he used his buddies at the People's Bank for his banking business. What being good buddies with the bankers ended up translating to was that they looked the other way at some of the things that the rest of us that don't play golf with our bankers have to do. You know, like we are only able to deposit checks into our accounts that have our own names on them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, banks usually be kind of picky about that.
Listen, they're real picky. My bank, real picky.
Yeah, real picky, okay? So, but they weren't picky for Bill. So what Bill would do was have his customers take out a construction loan while their home was being built. And then when the build was completed, they would take out a conventional mortgage. The closing agent at the title company is then supposed to take the check from the mortgage bank to pay off the construction loan. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
But in this case, Bill had used his power of persuasion to get the closing agent named Michelle Berry to hand over the loan check to him instead. And then it was deposited into the Erpenbeck business account. That's where the part about the bank not caring about the name on the check comes into play.
So, okay. I mean, basically, Bill could find a check on the floor
and deposit it into his account. Yeah. He pulled this off over 200 times. His sister, Lori, was his accountant. So, you know, if you're scamming people, you're also going to need to cook your books, right? And therefore, it's always helpful to be related to your accountant. So Lori at some point, though, did not want to be a part of Bill's shady business. And so she quit, which, you know, smart move.
Mm-hmm.
So basically, all of these homeowners had giant loans against their homes, which meant they actually could have lost them at any point. And they didn't even know it. Bill would pay the interest on the loans so that the houses wouldn't be foreclosed on. And mostly his victims were just none the wiser. Occasionally, someone would want to sell their house And that's when they would discover the liens against them. And in that case, Bill would say, oh, there's just been some, you know, paperwork mix up. And then he would pay it off in full because he kind of had to, right?
Yeah.
Bill's little fraud scheme wasn't enough to sustain itself, though. So he would again need help from his banker buddies. He was at a point where he already owed them around $6 million, and they weren't real stoked on loaning him any more dinero. So they sent him to other banks to get more money, which I can see, you know, probably a good idea, right? Sometimes doing business with friends don't work out.
Sometimes it doesn't.
Sometimes it doesn't. But, well, the part of that that was a bad idea was that they kind of fibbed to those other banks and said that Bill was running a fine, profitable business. You know, he wasn't, right? So what a tangled web we weave. So now these banker buddies are just racking up the future fraud charges every time they try to help Bill out by referring him. And of course, they probably should have known that Bill was not likely to stay on top of those payments because he never had, and he didn't in this case either. He actually borrowed $29 million, and that $29 million turned into $64 million because he had so many penalty fees.
Whoa.
Oh my gosh, penalty fees kill me. I die.
Gretchen, like, is so, you really need to do our books personally.
Yeah, yes. I do.
You're
yeah,
so
I do.
Meticulous yeah. and good about everything. I mean.
Oh, I hate bank fees and shit. Yeah, you know? Yeah. So, okay. Okay. So now with Bill's debt being astronomical, plus the fact that word had gotten out in Northern Kentucky circles that something sus was going on at the Erpenbeck Building Company and that you best be checking the status of your home's title, more and more customers were asking questions and checking into the liens on their homes. And so Bill kind of saw the writing on the wall, like, you know, dude, the jig is up. It was only a matter of time before the feds were going to come and get him. And so he thought, I have a plan. I'm going to go to them before they kind of put all the pieces together. So his plan was like, take a preemptive strike and go to the feds himself, which is not a bad idea. I think go to the feds, cooperate, you know, of course, get a lawyer,
yeah,
and you'll probably get a lighter sentence. And, you know, you're going down anyways. Well, Bill just didn't want a sentence at all. So when he went to the feds, he told them he was not to blame. He said it was all his sister.
No way. Lori. He throws her under the bus?
I know.
What
yeah.
a douche.
He said it was her master plan.
Although, I mean, I do find that she's not totally.
She's not. Oh, no, she's not totally.
Innocent.
No, she's not totally innocent. But I think she it also was not her plan. I mean, the problems with this that I am thinking, that I'm thinking the feds also kind of thought, the reason why Bill's claim that it was all Lori didn't really ring true is, for one, you know, like I told you, Lori had quit months ago. And for two, I don't know what kind of lifestyle Lori was living back then. But from what I can find out about her, she's not the high maintenance type.
Okay.
She's not flashy at all. She seems like the type that has a lot of home decor from Hobby Lobby mm-hmm. and probably a couple of cats.
Okay.
Okay. Bill and his wife, on the other hand, do seem like the high maintenance type. They're super flashy. Bill's wife was into fur coats, diamonds, stuff like that. I don't imagine she knows anything about Hobby Lobby. She's more of a Z Gallery shopper.
I find probably more than a Z Gallery. That's like a restoration hardware.
I know. Yeah, I was trying to think of somewhere for just like home accents that was bougie.
Like our house or
you know, something. You people know what I'm saying, right?
William Sonoma type.
William Sonoma's more like kitchenware.
I know, but it's expensive.
Sure, that's where she bought her pots. It is expensive. I'm sure that's where she bought her pots and pans and stuff.
Yeah. I go in there and then I turn my ass around. I'm like, ooh.
Oh my God. I know.
$500 for one pot.
Yeah. Those pots are good though.
Okay.
Real good.
Who's that lady? They have a movie about her. The French woman.
Julia Child.
You and Julia Child.
Right? Okay. But anyways, back to Bill. I mean, okay. What a dick trying to throw his sister under the bus after she quit.
Yes.
Right?
And he's by the way, like, and she's not even getting the money. She's not shopping at the Z Gallery.
No, he was just one bitter brother. Okay. Well, his plan didn't really work out anyways. So he went to his plan B, and that was to throw his banker buddies under the bus. He had recorded conversations with them. How dirty is that? Where he had coaxed them into saying that they had broken some banky rules, which they, you know, they had.
Yeah.
And so he was able to use that and plead guilty to just one count of fraud for a reduced sentence.
Wow.
Well, that was not enough for Bill. You know what? I don't think that Bill even felt bad for all the people that he had screwed over. And I don't think he also got the concept of taking responsibility for his own damn actions. And so this meant that he was not thrilled with the possible reduced sentence that he was looking at for throwing his banker buddies under the bus, which was probably going to be about 10 years. So he decided to take another shot, throwing his sister under the bus. Guess where he got this brilliant idea?
Where?
Guess. His dear old daddy. Turns out the apple doesn't fall far from the tree.
Never does.
Bill's dad, I would like to think it does in some cases. Okay. Just saying. Okay.
Oh, well, for me and you, for sure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. Bill's dad, Tony, is something real special, Tab. He decided to badger Lori into going to Bill's sentencing hearing and telling the court that it was really all her fault. She was the mastermind behind the scam. And if anyone should serve time for the crime, it should be her. Well, Lori was not super keen on this idea. So she told her attorney about this shitty scenario, about her family trying to pressure her. So backtrack a little. Lori had been charged for her role in the fraud for the time period she was there, but it was pretty minimal compared to like what her brother and the bankers were facing. And so that's why she had an attorney.
Okay.
Okay. But so anyways, her attorney then went to the feds and told them about the family plan. And so they had Lori wear a wire and meet her daddy in a parking garage while they listened to daddy tell her she needed to take the fall for her brother. After all, Lori, you don't have any kids and your brother has three. So you've got to take one for the team.
Oh, so she should go to prison because her brother is a douche?
That's what I'm thinking. Can you imagine that? Her self-esteem when her own father is telling her that she should go away because she has not reproduced yet?
Asshole,
right? You don't need kids to count. I mean, sheesh. Don't like that. Okay. So the feds were listening to this whole dysfunctional conversation. And when they had heard enough, five FBI vehicles surrounded Tony and Lori, and they arrested him for obstruction of justice. Mm. I love a stain.
I love a stain, right? Too.
I know. I wish there was video footage. I am sure the look on Tony's face when he realized that Lori was like not the whatever you say, daddy, daughter that he had played her for. I mean, that look must have been priceless.
She's probably like shitting her pants in You know what I mean? Like, it's got, that cannot be easy. I mean, more power to her for doing that, but holy cow, I can't imagine. Because just imagine how, I don't know how old she was, but say 40. That's 40 years of taking her dad's abuse like that. You know, it happened as a child too.
Oh, yeah. So it probably kind of felt good. Busted. Okay, so this plan to reduce Bill's, you know, sentence obviously backfired. Bill was then sentenced to the max, which was 30 years. Remember, Whoa. He was only looking at 10. Yeah. And Daddy Tony was sentenced to 6 years for obstruction of justice.
Gretch, I forgot we didn't mention, which I wanted to mention earlier, the best jewelry that we got. And since Valentine's Day is right around the corner, I thought we should tell everybody about our new favorite jewelry line.
Ana Luisa.
It is so beautiful. Gretch and I got the most beautiful necklace with the teeny tiny teeniest butterfly.
I love it when it's so dainty and it's so small, and I wasn't really sure what to expect. I mean, but it's smaller than my pinky nail, you guys. It's the cutest.
It's the cutest. They also have rings and earrings and super fun, like, safety pin earrings. Those are so cute and popular.
And the huggy earrings. Those, I love that style. That's all I wear pretty much. And the little ear cuffs. If you don't have ears pierced, you can still put one on. Super cute.
Totally. Yes, so cute. And it's really reasonable. And if you guys need to buy yourself a Valentine's Day gift, or you just want a piece of jewelry, or you need to tell your husband where to go, go to analuisa.com. It's analuisa.com. And I promise you, you guys will love it. And it's very, very reasonably priced for how beautiful this stuff is.
The bankers were both sentenced to 5 years, and the closing agent received 2 years for her role in the scam, and Lori was sentenced to 1 year for hers. Lori appears since then to be living her best life on social media. She has a lot of friends, and she's friends with a lot of Erpenbeck family members, but probably not surprisingly, none of them are her brothers or their kids. Mm. So, I mean, I don't know. There's that. But she's out now. You know, she's free to do her. Does that make sense?
She's
doing her.
She's free to be free.
Yes. Yes. I also will just say that when I was snooping around and reading old articles and looking through the comments, the general consensus is that the rest of the family really are good people. But Tony and Bill were just the bad apples of the bunch. But I do think it sucks for their relatives being linked to them forever, because Erpenbeck is not a common last name. And if you just search Erpenbeck, the scandal comes up.
The name is so I'm really, sure, it is really not common.
Yeah. So I'm sure that people bring it up to them still, and it's been 20 years. And it doesn't help that over the last 20 years, Tony and Bill have still continued to make headlines from behind prison walls.
Oh, tell me.
Tony was the first one to make the news again when he was indicted on solicitation of threats on people holding federal offices.
In prison.
In prison. Let me tell you, Mr. Tony was real bent about going to prison, okay? Like, extra bent over those 6 years he was serving. And he could not keep it to himself. So he opened his trap to another inmate that he wanted to have the judge that presided over his case killed.
No.
As well as the prosecuting attorney.
Oh, come on, Tony.
Dead.
You know what?
Tony, right? Mm-hmm.
Why are some tasks just so much harder than others? For me, I love cleaning out my clothes closet, but cleaning out my kitchen cabinets, forget about it. Seriously, it's scary back there in the deep, dark corners of cabinet land. And so it's daunting for me to even start to take on that task. Creating a will or trust can also be a daunting task to take on, one where you aren't sure where to begin or who to ask for help. But it doesn't have to be with trustandwill.com. The website is super user-friendly. Their simple step-by-step process guides you from start to finish, one question at a time. When maneuvering through the process, if you have a question that stops you in your tracks, there is actually live support available through phone, chat, or email. You know, it's just so important to save your loved ones time and stress by having all your documents in one place with bank-level encryption. I love having the confidence that comes with the peace of mind knowing that my family is protected. Stand up and protect what matters most to you in minutes with Trust and Will. Go to trustandwill.com/housewives and get 10% off plus free shipping. That's 10% off and free shipping at trustandwill.com/housewives. Listeners, you know I'm all in for some self-reflection and rethinking how I can make an impact. That's why I love Blue Land. Blue Land products are not just about tidying up, but about a cleaner, greener lifestyle by reducing plastic use. Blue Land is on a mission to eliminate single-use plastic by reinventing cleaning essentials to be better for you and the planet with the same powerful clean you're used to. The idea is simple. They offer refillable cleaning products with a beautiful, cohesive design that looks great on your counter. You just fill your reusable bottles with water, drop in the tablets, and wait for them to dissolve. Blue Land products are independently tested to perform alongside major brands and are free from dyes, bleached, and harsh chemicals. Blue Land is a great value with refills starting at just $2.25. Tab and I love using Blue Land in our homes to clean anything and everything from cleaning sprays to hand soap, toilet bowl cleaner, and laundry tablets. Blue Land is trusted in over 1 million homes, including mine and Tab's. Blue Land has a special offer for our listeners. Right now, get 15% off your first order by going to blueland.com/clink. You won't want to miss this. blueland.com/clink for 15% off. That's blueland.com/clink to get 15% off.
And the FBI agent Tim Tracy's children, he wanted them kidnapped and killed.
This guy's a bad guy. Please tell me he's still in prison.
I told you.
Listen, not living in Texas.
This is... Well, I'll tell you what, he's dead.
Oh.
Because this was a while ago, and he's already pretty old.
I need to know that guy is not anywhere around.
He, yeah, but he did die in prison. So
okay.
There's that. So this inmate that he told, thankfully, just appeased Tony with his murder for hire chatter, but he didn't do anything about it except take advantage of the situation in the form of telling on Tony so he could make a deal where he wore a wire in exchange for his own sentence being reduced.
Yeah, they always do that, you know?
If they're smart, I think they do.
Yeah.
Right? Okay. So in the recorded conversation, he details wanting them all dead. And it's particularly disturbing when he talks about what he wants done to the FBI agent Tracy's children. He wanted them buried alive with just enough air so that they are tortured for a week or two before they die.
This guy's sick.
Sick, right? He also wanted the judge dismembered, blah, blah, blah. But I mean, whatever. The kids, that's the one that is just like gets me.
Yeah.
So next level. Okay. So when all was said and done, Tony got an additional 20 years tacked on to his 6-year sentence for that. Mm-hmm. Like I said, he died at the age of 82 in 2018.
Oh, 82. He lived a long life.
Yeah. Okay. So then there's Bill. Well, prison wasn't his vibe. So he decided to try and use something he had been keeping secret to get his sentence reduced. His secret was that he had asked one of his golfing buddies to do him a solid and hide a bag of $250,000 in cash for him before he got locked up, you know? Well, this guy did it. He actually buried the loot on the golf course.
He did.
And never went. He did. He buried the money on the golf course and never went back to spend it or anything. There was really no advantage for this guy. His name is Steve Skidmore. He was just, you know, trying to help a buddy out.
Okay.
Okay, but Steve learned the hard way that no matter how harmless it might seem, do not make yourself an accessory to a crime on account of trying to be a good buddy, especially a federal one, because the feds don't fuck around. Okay? They really don't. So Bill, who we already know has no shame when it comes to other people taking heat for his misdeeds, set up a rendezvous with one of his brothers wearing a wire talking to buddy Steve about the $250,000.
Oh, he's going to take him down to try to get his sentence reduced.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
So Steve told, you know, Bill's brother where on the course he had buried the money. And when the feds went a-digging, they found it. The money was not, I mean, he did a bad job though. The money was not wrapped in like plastic. It was in like a fabric like cooler and it had gotten damp. So it wasn't in like spendable condition. But you know, you can turn in damaged money to the Treasury Department.
Get new money.
And they'll reissue it. And so it was $253,000, which went towards the restitution owed to the victims, which is, you know, good, but bad, you know, bad for Steve, right? He was sentenced to 16 months for perjury to a federal agent for not disclosing that he had buried the money, because back in 2002, he was questioned about Bill by federal agents. 16 months. Can you imagine?
No.
No. Okay. And after all that, Bill did not even get his sentence reduced.
I wouldn't think he would. Like, that to me is not, like, he's not telling on somebody in prison that told him this crazy story or something like that. That's where I think you get, you know, where you can help out somebody. This is still his bad. This is still Bill's bad.
Right. Yeah. Well, listen, I have a little theory about what Bill might have been thinking at the time to make him do his buddy so dirty. Bill's whole shit show basically came to a head in 2002 when Bill was kind of, you know, forced to go to the feds originally because he knew they would be coming for him, but he wasn't convicted until 2004. Mm-hmm. Well, in 2003, his wife bought a nice home on the water in Fort Myers, Florida for $500,000. The same home is worth over $1 million now. So the reason lots of people in financial hot water head to Florida is because they have something called the homestead exemption there, which pertains to bankruptcy. It's basically they can't take your house. No matter how much you fucked your creditors over and no matter how much your house costs, they don't take your house there. So, you know, if you want to hold on to some of your money, it kind of behooves you to dump a bunch into a house in Florida.
Got it. Okay. You buy the house before you declare bankruptcy or whatever.
Yes. Okay. Yes. Okay. So Marsha set up shop down there.
Marsha.
Oh my God. Totally Marsha, right? Okay. Well, she set up shop down there and became a realtor. And from what I can tell, she's pretty successful at it. And so I just think that Bill was like thinking if he gets out early, he doesn't really need that $250,000 anymore anyways. And it would be pretty risky, you know, for him to get out of prison, show up on the golf course in Northern Kentucky and do some digging anyways, right? And so I think he just thought, maybe I'll just give the possibility of that money up. Why not give it a shot? And maybe he thought he was okay living, you know, humbly in a $1 million home on the water while Marsha brings home the bacon. It might not be so bad to play golf at a public course. And what the hell? Prison food sucks. Let's get out of here.
Yeah.
That's what I imagine his mindset was. I mean, I just think it was like, pathetic that it had absolutely nothing to do with getting the money back to the people that he defrauded.
He's not like that. He doesn't care about that kind of stuff.
Oh, my God. Well, I'm going to tell you about those people at the end. I think he has no conscience, and I have nothing to base this on besides other people's comments, but they be saying that Marcia is greedy. I just think she appears to have handled this kind of like Erica Jane. Like, I'm sorry, but under the circumstances, I don't think you buy the nice house in an effort to keep as much money as you can. Your husband ruined people financially, and now they have to rebuild themselves. And I think you should have to, too. You take some clothes and get a job, and you don't get to play the victim and act like you didn't know something shady was affording your lifestyle. I think you can be guilty by complacency. That's just my opinion. Okay. Okay. So up until last year, Bill had been serving his time at a minimum security federal prison in none other than the Pensacola, Florida.
Oh, where our friends are.
Yeah. Shout out Susie Nextina, yeah. Right? Not only is Pensacola home to some of our favorite listeners and beautiful white sandy beaches that we will visit someday, but also home to a federal prison facility. I mean, could it get any better?
Who knew?
Who knew? Okay. So in 2021, Bill was transferred to a halfway house in Fort Myers, Florida, where he will remain until 2025 when his sentence is over.
Dude, that's soon. He's getting out.
Soon. Yeah.
And how old is he?
I don't know. I think he's going to be like in his 60s when he gets out. Okay. So what about all those people he defrauded? Well, Urban Beck's stuff was auctioned off and People's Bank was sued. And so some victims, which consisted of both homeowners and subcontractors, were able to get their money back. Some were able to get some back, and some were not able to get any back. And for all of them, it equated to just years and years of stress and headaches because they were forced to deal with this due to Bill's, you know, greedy, unconscionable ass. And for some, it was worse than that. In 2016, there was a fatal crash on a Tennessee highway that killed three people and the driver. It turns out the driver was at one time a successful plumber with a thriving business, and that is until he got caught up with one Bill Erpenbeck. And according to this guy's brother, he wasn't able to recover the tens of thousands of dollars that he was owed, and so he lost his business because of Bill. He never recovered from that loss, and so, like so many desperate people, he took up heroin, which he was under the influence of when he killed those people on the highway.
Oh, my God.
You know, and so that is just really sad, and I'm sure that there are more stories like that. I mean,
that is so sad.
You know, people that buy homes be working really hard, and to lose everything and all those contractors. Yeah. That sucks.
That does. That's so sad.
Yeah. So that's a wop.
Wow. It's so crazy because there are a lot of people that fraud people out there. And I think we just hear about very, very few of them.
Okay. Yeah. You, in a weird kind of way, I was fraudulated.
You were.
When I was in the process of purchasing a home. Yeah. I'm not going to get into it because it's boring or whatever. And it was just the amount of $4,000, but it was my fault. I did not read the fine print and whatever. I took my real estate agent's word for that this contractor was being paid. Turns out they weren't paid. Then I had to pay them. And, you know, you need to cross your T's, dot your I's, make sure every check goes, gets in the hands of the right person, all of that. Do your due diligence.
You also were frauded before. I mean, you've been frauded a few times, by the way. But
yeah, that's true. Maybe that's why I'm so anal retentive about shit now.
I think so. I know a few of our listeners have now and watched a show. Did you watch the show Tinder Swindler on Netflix?
No.
Okay.
Oh, I like the name though.
I know. I was thinking about doing the case on this guy, but I'm not going to. So anybody that wants to watch it, watch it. It's about this guy, this Israeli guy that goes on Tinder and basically has a Ponzi scheme with these women. So he acts like he's this billionaire and he has pictures of himself with like photoshopped with a billionaire dad, like a real guy, has fake names. And he looks like, you know, they go on his Tinder and they're like, oh, look, there he is with this billionaire. Must be his dad. Looks like his sister, you know. And he takes them on a date and his first date is extravagant. He flies in a private jet and takes them to a 5-star hotel in Amsterdam or somewhere. And they are smitten. And he's like, I'm in the diamond business and I'm this billionaire. And this is this is my bodyguard. And they fall in love. They're like, oh, my God, this is amazing. This guy is dreamy. And he's texting them and sending them flowers. And then he goes, oh, honey, I love you so much. I just want to be with you all the time. But I'm in this because of the diamond business. I'm getting my enemies are after me and I need some money. And will you take some money out of your credit card and send me cash? And they do. And so this one girl takes $250,000 in loans to give him because she thinks he sends pictures of himself and his bodyguard beat up and people are going to kill him and he needs this and he needs that. Mind you, while he's getting all this money from this girl, he's in Greece partying with his new girlfriend from Russia, who's some supermodel who he's going to take down next. Okay. He just keeps going with these women.
Oh my gosh.
And by the way, the guy is still out there doing this. And so Tinder Swindler came out on Wednesday and they said on Netflix, they were like at the end, they're like, and he's still now out there. This is his new girlfriend. Here's his Ferrari. Like he is still being this slime bag. And he just today removed his Instagram because it just came out on Netflix. Like he's.
Oh, my gosh.
But the last they found, he was in Israel, I think. But he's all over, so it's hard to catch him.
I feel like they have Netflix in Israel.
Yes, but the problem with getting him is that he does this to women all over the world. So one of the girls was in the Netherlands, one was in the UK, one was in Russia. Oh, he flies all over and gets these women to do this all over the world.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
I think it's like an hour and a half or 2-hour Netflix.
Oh, no, I'm feeling it. Just seems like a bit exhausting.
For him?
Keeping up. Yes.
Oh, my gosh. So they know this guy does this and it's his career and people are after him, but it does seem exhausting to me, too. He befriended this girl and acted just like she was his best friend and took her on all these vacations, said, come meet me with my girlfriend. And she does. And she just thinks he's like the best thing since sliced bread. And then for probably a year or something, and then takes advantage of her. He has no heart. I mean, he is like this guy that you just did the case on. I just think there's some people that.
They just don't give a shit.
They don't. They don't have the bone in their body to have any compassion. And I don't know, what is that called? A sociopath? I mean, it's.
I think Erica Jane is the same effing way.
It sounds like it.
Her not wanting to give up those seven. We talked about it on Patreon. But her like actually putting up a fight to hold on to some $750,000 diamond earrings. I mean, go fuck yourself. Give the earrings up.
I know, right? Like, it's a
We're talking earrings. About widows and children that your husband swindled money from. Give them up, greedy bitch.
Yeah, I don't.
Just saying.
And it's material things, especially earrings. It's like, I'm sure you have 50 other pairs of earrings. And if not, go to Express. They have really cute ones. You wouldn't even know that they're not real diamonds. Okay.
Totally. Word to your mother.
Yeah.
Okay.
There are lots of fake ones that look just as real. Mm-hmm. And everybody would think they're real, Erica Jane.
Right.
You know, I think that people like that we should have seen the red flags when she is all about how much glam and all this stuff about me and getting up on stage and showing it all off. And like, that should be a red flag.
That she's an attention whore?
And maybe doesn't care much about, you know, personal, like she cares a lot about material things and maybe not.
Oh, also she has a real hot temper.
Yeah.
Like she went off on the other women like pretty quickly. I mean, that's extra. Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. If one of my friends just snapped, started screaming at me, can you imagine?
No.
No. I mean, gosh, certainly I have disagreed with friends over time, but no one has ever thrown a glass of wine or screamed or anything remotely close to those.
No.
No one has ever gotten in my space and don't fucking talk about my son. Never. Never. No. No.
No.
What are you going to do?
I think that's why they choose those girls, though. You know, they see.
Yeah, they do. Yeah, we would be real boring housewives.
We are housewives.
I know, but if we were on the show, we'd be like real boring because we don't like fight.
We don't fight each other.
Or, yeah.
Only maybe two times.
Yeah. Well, for 20 whatever years, that's pretty good.
But we never threw blows or threw a drink at each other or
wine or anything. Yeah.
By the way, I've been staying inside. You know, we had to stay inside until the snow melted so we could drive. And let me tell you, I ate so much candy. So much stuff in my refrigerator. Always, you know, I just ate the whole entire time. Those raisins.
You know, I might have been. Oh, those raisins. You got them from Costco.
Yeah. Chocolate covered raisins.
I don't know why you buy them. I don't know why you buy them. They're so dangerous. I might have been overeating because, you know, I was really on the diet plan because I was going to Hawaii. So that's motivating.
Mm-hmm.
But courtesy of my child's arm, I had to reschedule the trip.
Third time's a charm, Gretchen.
Yeah. Yes, this will be the third time we've rescheduled it. So, which is so funny. Okay. So we rented like a VRBO, you know? Mm-hmm. And so I called the number on the email and wanted to talk, basically beg and plead because I don't have trip insurance or, you know, like anything.
Yeah.
Like, and I think their policy is like no changey. But I thought if I called them, maybe there was a, you know, I'd give it a shot.
Yeah.
So I call them and this old man answers the phone. He's like, hello? And I'm like, oh, hi, sir. I think I might be calling the wrong place. I'm like, I'm calling about the, you know, vacation rental. He's like, yeah, this is Hawaii Vacation Rentals. I'm like, oh, okay. Well, I'm in a little bit of a pickle. Well, let me tell you, talk to Donna. I'm all, okay. So then I talked to Donna, and Donna was real sweet. She was like, oh, we'll change those for you, honey. Okay. Fast forward to 30 seconds later, my phone rings. I'm not thinking we're going to change those for you. You know, it's going to be real hard for us to rebook.
Oh, no.
I was like, well, okay, but Donna already said I could just do it on the website, and so I already did. He was like, okay. And So I did. I got to read book without any feelings.
Good job. I told you, you always do that. So amazing. Hey, I just read, I don't know if you guys have been following, but there is this little boy that fell down a well. Did you read this?
No.
So it was in, I think Morocco. Let me just make sure. Yeah, Moroccan boy. His name is Rayan. He fell down like a 100-foot well, and it was like baby Jessica. Remember baby Jessica in the 80s?
Yes. Oh, yeah.
So he was down there since Tuesday. It's now Saturday, and they tried to get him out via like just, you know, hoisting something down, you know, like that. And it was not possible. And so they had to go from the side and dig all the way down 100 feet. But it took them 5 days to get to this little boy. And they just did. It just happened. So
oh my God. Thank God my kid broke his arm, not his head, or fell down a well.
I know. Isn't it crazy? I mean, they said that his condition is unknown, but he was rushed to the hospital. They did send down oxygen and water, but dude, the kid's like 3 years old. So, he's 5 years old. So I'm like, I hope they open. My first thought when they were like, oh, they put down the water down there, I was like, I really hope they opened that water bottle first.
Right? Loosened it. Cause you're right. They can't.
They can't do it.
My kids are 9 and they still ask me to open the water bottle for them.
So I'm like, and I don't know how he's going to know how to use oxygen, but I mean, hopefully they were able to he's 5. It's so hard at that age. I mean, at least he's 5 and not 3. I thought he was 3 at first, but, or maybe it did say 5 years old. No, 5. Oh yeah. 5 year old was rushed to the hospital. I really hope he is like baby Jessica and comes out just fine.
Just fine. Yeah.
And so there's wells here in Texas. We have a well, actually. And I'm always like, where is it? Because I want to make sure my kids do not fall down the well. They were like, no, it's not like that. Yeah. I'm like, are you sure? Are you sure it's not like that?
Yeah.
So yeah, they got him out. Anyways, guys, please, 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 I know I beg and plead you, and if you guys have been binging our podcast, you've heard it so many times, but one, I would like you to subscribe if you have not on your podcast app now, and if you would like to leave us a review, we would like it because Apple likes it, and we like to make Apple happy so that they show our podcast to other people and they can see it. Also, if you would like to share us with your friends, we would really appreciate it. And that is how you guys can help us out. If you want more of us, we do one extra true crime podcast a month on Patreon. And then we talk just shooting the shit the other 3 times of the month. But it's about an hour more a week. If you guys want it, go to patreon.com/housewives of true crime and follow us on Facebook, Housewives of True Crime Group, if you want the ins and the skinny on what's going on. And we're on Instagram. You can find us there. And I think that's all for now.
Okay.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are now boarding Group A. Please have your boarding passes ready to scan. If your phone is cracked, old, or was chewed up by your Chihuahua travel companion, please refrain from holding up the line. Instead, go to Verizon and trade in any phone in any condition from one of their top brands for the new Samsung Galaxy S25 Plus with Galaxy AI and a watch and tab on any plan. Only on Verizon.
With new line on my plan. Service plan required for watch and tab. Additional terms apply. See Verizon.com for details.